Hello, everyone. This is Robert McNaughton, and I have the pleasure of Skyping today with my good friend, longtime mentor, role model in my life, local badass town hero, Jason Gaddis.
Okay, I'll take that.
And I love this fundraising campaign because I'm getting to connect so much more with people in my life that I care about on all different facets. And this is a great example. I love that we have this excuse to talk about things that we care about and share this with people that we care about.
Thanks, man. Happy to be here.
Cool. And the topic I wanted to talk with you about today, and this is something that you're a big champion for in general, but focusing on lately, and you did a presentation actually here at the Integral Center a few weeks ago, on this concept of relationship as a path. And I'll post a link to the video from that presentation, because for anybody who wants to take a deeper dive here, I think it's just chock full of amazing material. And in my experience, it was getting to see you do a download of so many amazing things that you have learned over the years of being a therapist, of being a practitioner in relationship, and to being a champion in the Boulder community and beyond for more conscious relationship, for raising the bar on what's possible in relationship.
Yeah, that's my life. I love it.
Cool. So let's share a little bit more about this. Just kind of on the surface, what can you say about what does that mean, relationship as a path?
Yeah, well, it specifically means relationship as a spiritual path, so that we're using all our relations to awaken and be ourselves. And the cool side benefit is that we get to deepen and enhance our relationships that we're currently having. So it's legitimizing this as a real spiritual practice and a real spiritual path that we can, when we see relationships and intimacy this way, we can really start to unlock, uncork, and just so many of our stuck ways, ways we close down to love, and get more traction. And it's very immediate, right? Because we're relating with people all the time.
Totally, totally practical. I love the simplicity of... We don't have to think about spiritual practice as like, oh, it has to be, you know, Zen meditation. It has to be something esoteric from some other culture where I have a teacher that tells me what to do and, you know, do something weird. That actually something as simple and important as relationships can be the thing that we call our spiritual practice.
Yeah, that's right. And the cool thing here is we can practice it all day long through all our interactions at the bank or at Whole Foods or with our children or certainly our spouse. And it kind of, you know, it's like varying degrees. If I'm relating to a person at Whole Foods, I'm going to probably be a little less charged than the person I'm living with and breathing with and sleeping with 24/7 for years.
Totally.
So much more comes up in that container, right? So there, you know, it's really accessible for anyone at any point.
Yeah, and in my experience of you know, getting to practice, you know, all of my relations, you know, in a more conscious way, it's paid some of the higher dividends and just kind of, you know, from a utilitarian perspective, like when I put effort and investment into my relationships and how I am in my relationships, lo and behold, I get better at it. You know, not overnight, but I have noticed that it's easier for me to be in a group of people. It's easier for me to know what to do when I'm feeling awkward or uncomfortable with someone. I don't have to, you know, do my usual patterns of making stories about that and so forth. That it actually, and I realized that, yeah, I'm in this all day. I'm in relationships all day long. And so when I put my eye on developing there, man, my life improves in a lot of ways.
Totally. And so much of our hurts happened as kids and growing up in relationship. They didn't really happen in isolation.
Right.
So, you know, meditation is great. I love meditation. I'm a meditator. But I'm not getting at any relational stuff because I'm just sitting there alone by myself. I can, but I'm using the relationships that just triggered me 5 minutes ago, and I'm taking that to the cushion and being with now what's up in my experience, so that next time I interact with that person or in that situation, my nervous system might be a little less charged.
Yeah, totally. It's, and as you say that, I'm aware of that it's not an easy practice either, that actually in some ways it's way more challenging than meditation, because it's slippery. There's so many ways that I can avoid it. There's so many ways that you and I can collude with each other's defense patterns and not actually feel what we're feeling. And, you know, you mentioned the challenges, the wounds that we experienced as children. It's uncomfortable to come in contact with those things again. And I work pretty hard to not feel those things as
exactly,
an adult.
Me too. Yeah, right. And it wasn't safe usually to express those things as kids. You know, so many of the things that we got hurt by, the same people that hurt us couldn't hold space for our emotional reaction that followed. So we locked up and we clamped down. And then that a similar thing, of course, shows up later in our life. And now we, you know, no one's there threatening us that they can't hold space for us. But it's still, the pattern is still in my nervous system of lockdown and freak out and discomfort. So if I want to move past that pattern, though, I actually have to go into that dark place that is, you know, what has been locked up for so long.
Yeah.
And feel it and just be with it and like, okay, release it. It's not a problem. But it is very advanced, like you're saying. I've been using that word a lot with this work, and to me it's really true. It's very advanced. If we're in fight or flight chronically, or if our nervous system is kind of jacked all the time and we're in survival mode, this is probably not the practice for you. It requires a lot of privilege and enough of a relaxation in the nervous system to be able to practice in this way.
I like that you said that about it being a privilege, in that there's ways we kind of have to have a lot of our shit together in our lives to have the privilege, the honor to practice in this way. And with that, I'm aware of a lot of responsibility that we have in the world of being able to kind of look at the things that most people in the world don't have the opportunity to look at. And I know in the work that you do in the community and, you know, what we focus on here at the Integral Center is allowing, you know, as much as we can, a safe space for people to be able to drop in a little more and make contact with those things. The question I have for you is, what do you see possible in the world when people are taking responsibility for becoming better at relationship? And if the world was practicing relationship as a path more, what does that give the world?
Yeah, great question. First thing that comes to mind is that there's going to be a lot less victims walking around, you know,
right,
with the finger pointing outward. And because this work really requires that the finger point inward. Not as a fault or a blame, but as a, I'm going to say, just take responsibility for what's occurring in my experience, and that I'm going to trust everything in my life is coming toward me so that for my benefit, so that I can heal and grow and awaken and be myself. So imagine if people were walking around with that paradigm and that view, I imagine we would get along more, we might feel more connected, people would be less isolated, and, you know, I don't have it that it would get us world peace or we'd all feel great. Maybe we wouldn't for a while. It might actually feel more intense.
Yeah.
Because we'd be willing to, like, look in the mirror.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel the same way. I love that when there's less victims, there's more people taking personal responsibility. And I imagine that when people do that, more things get done that need to get done. And I don't know if it's going to happen or I'm not attached to it, but I like to think that when there's more people taking personal responsibility, the real challenges in the world, things like sex trafficking, you know, the intense suffering that's happened in the world could diminish. As
yeah,
people are actually freeing themselves up to be more available and to have more impeccable service of the world.
Yeah, that's right. And I get out of this work allows us to get out of our story that there's a problem here and that, oh, my childhood and everything that happened to me is bad and wrong. We move past that paradigm and that view and into like, oh, those things happened to me for a reason and they're actually for my benefit. And now my lesson here in my life is to work through that and become an empowered adult and a mature adult so that I can do my service work in the world or whatever I'm here to do. But I can't get to that work and I'm not going to be very effective if I'm constantly in reaction to the world around me. And then I am blaming that same world or my past for, you know, my inability or unwillingness to do what I want in life.
Hmm. That's beautiful. I'm curious, you know, you're as a therapist in Boulder and you lead small groups and in workshops, and I've gotten to be in some of your more long-term trainings in men's work. And with all that experience, what are some of the patterns that you see, like in a place like Boulder, or maybe, you know, for the Western mind as you're encountering it, what are some of the most kind of voracious patterns that you're seeing?
Yeah, totally. Well, I have three favorite ones that I'm seeing. One is boundaries. People have no idea how to set boundaries and how to do boundaries. And, you know, that comes from most likely our culture and their childhood and their upbringing. But people are pretty incompetent there and disempowered there. And so they can't, it's hard for them to stand up for themselves and to be themselves. So boundaries is a big one. Another common one I see is trying to change your partner. That's one of the most common ones I see is this. We have this, just human beings, we have this knack to try to get you to change. If you would just do X, Y, and Z, Robert, then all my problems would go away.
If you would just become the thing that I'm pretty sure you're supposed to be, then I would feel much better.
That's right. Exactly. It's amazing how many of us are stuck in that and how I can, you know, it's such a deep pattern in me that when I'm most triggered, that's one of the places I go. If my wife would just... you know, then this whole freaking thing would be fine.
Yeah.
So that one's a big one. Another one is codependency, which is another way of saying enmeshment or confluence. It's just emotional fusion where, you know, I'm happy if you're happy. And so I'm totally dependent on everyone around me to be okay. So their state of being and their state of mind and how they're living their lives and all of that completely dictates how I am. And that... we can say that in like a professional world, like I'm always comparing myself to other people and then I put myself down here and they're up here on a pedestal. It's one way. Another way of saying it is just in a very intense, intimate partnership. Most of us grew in codependent families. So we see the way in which that plays out, that as soon as my wife gets triggered, I get triggered. You know, it does something to my nervous system. As soon as I see her shut down or her get angry or her pull away from me, I'm instantly, my whole nervous system is now in reactivity. And the codependent will rush towards the partner and try to change her. But as we become more of a relational warrior, we're able to just see that and feel it and be with it. And we don't need to reach toward or grasp. We can just hang with ourselves and hopefully rewire some new pathways in our brain and our body, and we're stronger as a result.
I love that. As we're taking steps towards becoming more relational warriors, you know, for all those reasons, hearing these kind of three patterns that you've elucidated, you know, the codependency in me wants to feel, it's like, okay, how do I solve these now? But I'm in touch with the possibility of like when we get to address these more. And I'm curious if you had like one tip to give like anyone that's out there that may be, you know, in touch with these challenges or not, what's one call to action that you could give people watching this?
Well, one of my favorite ones here is just see if you can commit to no blame for 1 week, no blaming anybody for a week, because that addresses all three of those areas. It helps me set a boundary. It helped with myself. It takes me out of codependency because I'm not making someone wrong from my experience. And I start to feel more empowered. And I learn how to start to take responsibility. That's one of the hardest skills I think you learn here in this relational work, which you probably see at the center, for people to just own their direct experience. It's very hard. I feel sad or scared or anxious rather than what most people, when they start doing it, they go, I feel like you are.
Yeah.
You know, and so that muscle can get flexed when we commit to no blaming and we just, you know, put a little penny in the box or something or a dollar every time we blame, just as a fun experiment to see, wow, I freaking blamed all week long. Because that's what we're going to do. The first thing we'll notice is how much we blame.
Yeah.
Which is okay. There's no, you know, it's nothing bad there. It's just,
no, that's actually the gift.
It's just like entrenched in me.
Yeah. It sounds like that's the real, you know, the booty prize in it is actually getting to... maybe be scared shitless by seeing how much we're doing that.
Yeah.
So the practice sounds pretty simple. It's simple, and wow, that shows up all over the place. That means I can't gossip, like, and talk shit about other people. That means, and I guess you could even raise the bar of, like, taking it internal and noticing where I'm, like, if I'm, I wake up in the morning and I'm just kind of stewing about what you said to me yesterday and making that your fault.
Yeah, exactly. Or making the floods, blaming the floods for your financial challenges right now. It's like, that's convenient. And what if I just thanked the floods instead and said, okay, you know, because what we're going for here is thank you to everything in our experience rather than fuck you, it's thank you.
Yeah.
And that's really hard to get to, thank you, genuinely. You know, we could bypass it and go, thank you, intellectually, but to really mean it is requires a tremendous amount of inner devotion to our experience and relaxation and so on.
Yeah, I think you nailed it on the head there, that thank you, or for me it's that welcome to everything. You know, we talk a lot here about that, you know, there's two general responses. There's posture and collapse, you know? So it's like when the flood came, I could collapse and just be like, well, we're done. And, you know, what can we do? The flood destroyed half the building. So woe is me. Or the other is posture and be like, well, I leave relationship one way or the other. In the posture, it's like, okay, well, I'm out of here, and like, I don't have to deal with this. And like, the building owner, he has to pay for it all, or the insurance better pay for it all, or who can I sue, or who can I, how can I show that like there's the entitlement that I'm feeling when I try to posture around that.
Yeah, or I might go into rescuer mode and be Superman and be like, this is mine to fix, and cool, now I have a mission in life, and I'm going to fix it all by myself and burn my adrenals and my kidneys and be sleep-deprived and kick my own ass and never ask for help. And you know, it's another form of posture, right?
I don't know anything about that. There's something for me to look in, possibly look in that.
Well, fortunately, you have a lot of good people around you to see that in you and to try to help you with that.
Yeah. Well, cool. One other thing I wanted to talk with you about, and this comes from your presentation, you really got me in your presentation, is you were talking about all the different ways we can do relationship as a practice. And you said, okay, so if you really want to raise it, you know, to the next level, I forget the way you put it, but like you really want to kind of meet your maker, have a kid.
Yeah.
Like the ultimate teacher. And I was just like, you know, I'm not currently a parent, but you know, I'm closer to that stage in my life than I ever have been before. And this is something I've heard you talk a lot about. You're a father, and you're talk about your process with your children and the challenges of being a parent a lot. And I know a lot of people in the community get a lot out of that. But what can you say today about why is that such a, as if everybody doesn't know that already, but let's go deeper into that.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, I mean, it destroys me, right? It just, my two kids just kick my ass continually in such a helpful way, in such a good way. And the reason that is so is because our kids are, basically we have kids and they become, they are our disowned parts. They just come into the world and they're everything disowned in us. And so when there's magical little people show up, we think, oh, this is cool, I have a kid. And pretty soon, you know, even in the early stages, you're not sleeping and you're doing all this stuff. And I'm finding as they grow, they become these little people that can talk back to me and have insight and awareness and ask me big questions, like my son asked me last night, like, how is a star formed? It's like, it's four. I'm like, what? Hey, where's the YouTube video?
Right.
Anyway, so I learned so much. So there's the gift there. And then the pain is the ways in which he triggers me and my daughter triggers me. It's just places in me that are disowned and disconnected and repressed, shut down. So it's so confronting, and it's just in your face. And parents who are really involved, like me, we get a lot of that practice a lot. If you're not a very involved parent because you work all the time, or you just don't see, you see your kid as like a burden, and like, God, this kid is like basically taking my life from me, then you're going to suffer a lot. And or you're going to be in, it's kind of a posture collapse thing, or you're going to be in like a denial sort of bliss zone, and your kids will become objects, and you'll raise them unconsciously to do the things you never got to do, or to just, you know, live out your dreams. And it's a shit show out there, honestly, to be really honest with parenting. When I look around in the playgrounds and the parks and the malls and wherever I am, it's just sad. Like, kids are getting missed left and right, and it's just like, oh. So I'm like, okay, that's okay. I'm just going to do my part by raising two brilliant souls and receiving their teachings day in, day out.
Yeah, I'm aware of, like, you know, this is what makes up the world. You know, the challenge of, as we are raised by our parents and as we're raising the next generation, that the makeup of what we experience as the world is based on these patterns. And
You know, when I don't look at my patterns, I just hand them down to my kids.
Yeah, and we're at an amazing stage in, you know, the evolution of our species now, that, like, there are communities like this where we have the resource and actually the awareness of, this is a good thing to do. We have teachers supporting us, and all of a sudden, you know, it's going to be really interesting to see how this unfolds ahead. And one of the thing that always gets me about parenting is, it's really hard to be a hero in the business world, in as a spiritual teacher, as you name it. There's a pedestal, you know, that it's easy to find yourself on or to aspire to. The stories I hear about from some folks in our community about the challenges of parenting, it's like, wow, there's not a lot of people building statues for you. And you're doing something that's more challenging than I think anything I've ever dreamed of. Like, not sleeping, you know, all day, like, just getting used to not sleeping and all those things. And I just think that's an amazing role.
Yeah, thanks. It's an amazing path within the greater context of relationship as a path. It's parenting as a path. So yeah. It's like a subcategory of that, you know, a few parents, just a few, walk in that way. And it is very, very demanding in a way that nothing else in my life has ever been. And I'm psyched for that. And I have the internal resources and capacity to meet it. You know, had I been a parent 15 years ago, or when I was college and I thought I got my girlfriend pregnant, oh my God, like, right, it would have been kind of a disaster. But, you know, again, like, I can get into that paradigm, right? Or I can be like, look, my kids chose me. And kids out there are choosing parents all the time. It's the way I look at this whole thing in terms of a soul level. And that's also a pretty intense way to look at things. It's like, Why would I choose this abusive, toxic environment that I'm getting punished every day as a little child? Good question. But it seems to me, through my work with adults, that, and as a parent, that continues to be what things point toward. And I don't have it that that's how it is, but I continue to lean into that strong, strong, strong possibility. And it actually helps me parent, knowing that my kids chose me because they're my disowned parts, and I get to heal greater and deeper levels. And when I do that, they get to flourish to be who they are.
A beautiful way to practice thanking and welcoming every moment.
Yeah.
Well, thanks, Jason, for joining me today and having this conversation. And I just want to say that it means a lot to me to have you in the community holding the bar you're holding, desiring what you want for people in relationship, for parents, for our community, and for the world. And I imagine that you may catch some flack from people for, you know, being as audacious as you are. Thank you for staying with it nonetheless. I'm walking away from this conversation with a lot of takeaways, of very practical things, and that's something I can always trust you for, that you're going to look for where it actually matters. And like, when it comes to integral philosophy and things like that, you've always kind of honed in with me on being open, but also wanting to, like, feel where the rubber hits the road. And that's a great place that I want to step more into.
Yeah, thanks, brother. It's great to be with you. I feel I miss you, and it's just so good to just have this taste of our connection right here.
Awesome. Cool, man. Well, I look forward to talking to you again soon.
Yeah, sounds good, Robert.